man, I know you guys just getting warmed up in here, but you got to have a seat, man. You should be like me. Stick around and go round two here in about 30 minutes, and we'll do it again, man. I don't know what's going on, but it's good today, man. It's good to be in the house of the Lord and be able to worship Him today. Appreciate you guys being here. Welcome those of you on the live stream. We got some good news today, man. I'm going to preach to you this morning about how God speaks. I just want to say God wants to speak to you. All right, He wants to speak to you. He wants you to be able to hear Him and respond to Him. God wants to speak to you. We're in a little series called Rooted, and if you haven't got one of these books, man, this is a great book. And last week was on who God is, and this week is on how God speaks. And so I want to take a look at it. I want to look at it from the book of John chapter 1. All right, the Gospel of John chapter 1. Now, as I've gotten a little older, man, sometimes I have a little bit harder time hearing. And I think, you know, back before I got saved, too much rock and roll and too many 12-gauge shotguns, right, in my left ear. So if I introduce myself to you and you tell me your name and I ask you again, it's not because you didn't speak it correctly. It's just because I can't hear that well, right? Sometimes we don't hear that well. I was listening to a sermon by Chuck Swindoll. My wife showed it to me. Chuck Swindoll, famous pastor up there in Frisco. He's 88 years old now. He was 83 when he was preaching this message, you know, but he was talking a little bit about getting older, and he was sharing how he was going through a drive-thru one morning, you know, a fast food place, and apparently he was taking too long to order, so the lady behind him started honking her horn at him. And so he said, so, you know, I got my order made, and I was pulling off, and I pulled up to the cash register, and I said, hey, I want to pay for my food, and I want to pay for the food of the lady behind me as well. And the cashier was like, oh, that's very nice of you, sir. And then apparently he said, the cashier must have told the lady, because all at once she started being real nice to me. You know, she started waving at me and saying, thank you. And he goes, I guess she was feeling bad that she'd been so rude to me. So I said, I pulled up to the other window to get my food, and I just handed them both receipts and said, both these orders are for me. He said, because I knew she was going to have to go through the line again now. He said, don't mess with old people. They've been around a while, right? So, man, it's kind of like that. I might not be able to hear so well. God always wants to speak to us. Sometimes we just don't hear so well, right? So I want to take a look at this passage of scripture this morning, man. Last week we looked at God as the creator God. It's God who initiates, God who creates, God who reveals himself to us. And he is a triune God. It's one God in three persons. So one God in three persons, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, in perfect relationship with one another, one God who created us. They've been in a relationship since before time began. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit in perfect relationship. When he created us, it says in Genesis 1:26 that he created us in his image. We were created in the image of God. Genesis 1:26, God said, let us make man in our image according to our likeness. We were created in the image of God. What is God? God's a God in relationship. Therefore, we were created with a desire and a need to be in relationship. There's something within us that desires to be in a relationship with God. That's there. And through that relationship, God wants to speak to us. So when he's talking about God speaking to us, this idea that God speaks, it's actually the phrase God said is used 1,000 times in the Bible. If you take the word that the Lord said, the phrase the Lord said is used 2,000 times in the Bible. 3,000 times in the Bible it says something about that God said. The first occurrence takes place in Genesis chapter 1, verse 3, which says, God said, let there be light, and there was light. The very first thing that God did after he created man in 1:28 was he spoke to them. God said, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue over it. The very first words of the devil recorded in Scripture was the devil refuting the word of God. Genesis chapter 3, verse 1. Did God really say you can't eat from any tree in the garden? God wants to speak to us. God wants to speak to you. One of my favorite passages of Scripture is found in 1 Kings chapter 19, where you have Elijah, and Elijah goes up on the mountain, and there's this big wind that comes through, and it just destroys everything, but it says that God wasn't in the wind. And then there was an earthquake that came through and it shook the mountains, but it says God wasn't in the earthquake. And then this fire came through and came down on the whole mountain, but it said God wasn't in the fire. And then God came to him in a still, small voice, a soft whisper. God wants to speak. You can look at it in the Bible. God spoke to Adam and Eve. God spoke to Cain. God spoke to Noah. God spoke to Abraham. God spoke to Isaac. God spoke to Jacob. God spoke to David. God just speaks. God wants to speak to you. He wants to have a relationship with you through which he can speak. So I want to take a look at this. Hebrews chapter 1. I'm going to jump to John in just a minute. But Hebrews chapter 1 says this. Long ago, God spoke to our fathers by the prophets at different times and in different ways. Back in the day, God spoke to his people through the prophets at various times and in various ways. So he would speak through a prophet. So God would speak to a prophet, and then a prophet would speak to the people. So you have all these major prophets in the Scriptures, you know, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, Isaiah, have all these minor prophets. God would speak to the prophet, and then he would speak to the people. But he goes on to say in verse 2, but in these last days, so we're in the last days. When Jesus came, we ushered in the last days. In these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son. In the past, God spoke through the prophets at various times and in various ways, but in these last days, he's spoken to us through his Son. God has appointed him, Jesus, heir of all things and made the universe through him. The Son is the radiance of God's glory and the exact expression of his nature, sustaining all things by his powerful word. After making purifications for sin, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. In the past, God spoke in various times and in various ways through the prophets, but in these last days, he has spoken. He said all that needs to be said through his Son. So, you know, we have this creator God. He initiated, he created, he reveals himself, and he reveals himself through creation, right? The heavens declare the glory of God through creation. He reveals himself through his word, and ultimately, he reveals himself through his Son, Jesus, to us, all right? He reveals himself through his Son, Jesus. And so this is what John chapter 1, verse 1 is talking about. So John chapter 1, the Gospel of John, we read part of this last week. In the beginning was the Word. That little phrase, Greek word for word, is logos. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. All things were created through him, the Word, and apart from him, not one thing was created that has been created. In him was life, and that life was the light of men. Verse 14, John 1, 14, and the Word became flesh. So this Logos is Jesus. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. We observed his glory, the glory of the one and only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. John, this is John the Baptist, testified concerning him and exclaimed, this was the one of whom I said, the one coming after me ranks ahead of me because he existed before me. Indeed, we have all received grace upon grace from his fullness. For the law was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. Here's the verse, verse 18. No one has ever seen God, the one and only Son who is himself God and is at the Father's side. He has revealed him. No one has ever seen God, he says. No one has ever seen God, the one and only Son who is himself God and is at the Father's side. He has revealed him. He has made him known. He's exegeted him. He's explained him. That Jesus made God known. And not only did Jesus make God known, he made a way for us to know God. All right? So Jesus made God known. Now, here's the thing about God the Father. God the Father is spirit. All right? John chapter 4, verse 24, to the woman at the well, Jesus says, God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship him in spirit and truth. He is spirit, therefore, God is invisible. I don't know why this just kind of blew my mind when I read that, I was like, dude, God is spirit. Therefore, God's invisible. All right? 1 Timothy 1:17, now to the King eternal, immortal, invisible, the only God be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. If God appeared to someone in the Old Testament, such as Moses, the burning bush, or Gideon as the angel of the Lord, he always manifested himself in a way that someone could see him. But in his essence, he's invisible. And if you were to see God in all his glory in your, you know, mortal form, you would die on the spot. Literally, scripture says if you ever to see God, it would kill you in your mortal way because of the power and the majesty of God. But in a sense, in his essence, God is invisible. But the good news is God has revealed himself to us through Jesus. All right? God revealed himself, made himself known through Jesus, because Jesus, according to Colossians 1:15, is the image of the invisible God. Just according to Hebrews 1:3, which we just read, the Son is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of his nature. If you ever want to know what God is like, you can look at Jesus. Jesus is God in the flesh. Jesus is the exact representation of God the Father. Jesus came so we would know what God is like, right? This is Jesus. He didn't just come to live the perfect life and die for our sins. He came to reveal to us what God is like. So Jesus is the Logos, all right? So that word Logos right there means a word spoken and understood. God spoke to us in a way that we can understand. He came down as a human so he could speak to us so we'd know what he's like. It's a word spoken. There's another Greek word for a word that's spoken and not understood, laleo, all right? So this happens all the time. Like, I've got a good friend that comes up to me. He's decided he's going to teach me how to speak Spanish. So he comes to me after the men's study on Wednesday night, and he teaches me Spanish. You think he would teach me one word at a time. But no, he teaches me in sentences at a time or paragraphs at a time. He comes up and says something to me in Spanish, and I have to guess what he's saying. I've never got it right one time, all right? I mean, when he speaks in Spanish, I'm sure somebody can understand that, just not me, right? I mean, it's a word spoken, I just can't understand it. I went on a mission trip to China one time. Like, somebody speak to me in Spanish, I might know a word every once in a while. When it comes to Chinese, I know nothing. They would speak to me in Chinese. I would just look at them with this really blank look in my face and try to speak back to them in Spanish. You know, I mean, it means something to somebody. It's just a word spoken to means nothing to me, but this is not Jesus, man. This is God speaking to us in a way that we can understand. He's the Logos. It's like God says, I'm going to speak to these people in a way they can understand. He is the Logos. Now, one of the core values of Pauline Church is we try to present the gospel in a way that people can understand. Right? Right? And so we do things to try to reach the next generation. So we have contemporary music, and we invest in our student ministry, and we invest in our children's ministry, really try to make a difference. Why do we care that people, we can share the gospel with people in a way they can understand? Because this is what God did for us. He went out of his way to communicate to us in a way that we can understand. God sent Jesus, man. He is the Logos. This is God trying to speak to you in a way that you can understand. So anything you want to know about God, you know, we can say the most common way God reveals himself in creation. So creation is general revelation. It's just anybody can look at creation and know that there is a God, but you can't come to know God that way. You can't come to know God personally through creation. You can just know that there is a God, but you can't come to know that God, because that's just general revelation. What you need to really know God is specific revelation, and specific revelation comes in two ways, through the Word of God and primarily through Jesus. So we start talking about knowing God, or how does God speak? Well, the number one way God speaks is through his word, right? Through his Bible, you know? And so when you start talking about the word of God, you know, it's like, well, you have the Old Testament, which is the words of God, but then you have the New Testament, which is the words of Jesus. But because Jesus is God in the flesh, they're both the Word of God. And whenever you have the Word of God, there's just power in the Word. So sometimes we look at the Bible as just a book, but it's not just a book to get knowledge from. This is God's Word to you so that you might know God through this, right? It's not just a book like another book that I can read it and get knowledge about God. No, this is the very Word of God given to you so He can communicate to you in a way that you can come to know Him. So in a sense, we would say the Bible is inspired and inerrant. Inspired means that it was written by people, but God inspired them, or God directed them, or God gave them the words to speak. So like a verse for that is 2 Timothy 3:16, all Scripture, so all Scripture, old and new, is inspired by God, or God breathed, and is profitable for teaching, for rebuking, for correcting, for training in righteousness. It's God put it, it was written by men. It's not even one. It's actually 66 books written by 40 people over 1,500 years with one common thread that Jesus is the Savior, Messiah, and you can know Him. And God moved them to write, and what we have is therefore inspired by God. It says in 2 Peter 1:20, above all, know this, no prophecy of Scripture comes from the prophet's own interpretation, because no prophecy ever came by the will of God. Instead, men spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. In other words, human people wrote it as God directed them what to say. So their personality might come through, but at the end of the day, it's exactly what God wanted to say. This is the Word of God for you. It's living and active. It has power to change you, all right? So we see this all the time. We talk about this a lot, that there's power in the Word of God, and we see this most clearly in Jesus. Jesus being God, whatever Jesus said had power. Whatever God says, His Word never, it always accomplishes it for what it was said, because it has power. It's living and active, it says in Hebrews. So when God said, let there be light, what happened? Boom, there was light. Right? Well, it's the same way with Jesus. You know, when Jesus says to the guy that's paralyzed, pick up your mat and walk, the minute Jesus says it, the power to do the impossible becomes available to the paralyzed guy if he just by faith believes it and tries to do it one more time. So you have Mark 2:11, Jesus says, pick up your mat and walk, to a paralyzed guy. And then it says in Mark 2:12, he got up, picked up his mat and walked outside. God said, let there be light, there was light. God said, walk. The guy gets up and walks. Jesus is in the boat and there's this huge storm and they wake him up. We're about to drown, don't you care? And Jesus gets up and just says, peace be still, and the wind and the waves obey him. Right? He goes over to the Gerizim demoniac who's possessed by demons, and Jesus says to the demons, come out, and they just come out. You know, he goes over there and a woman says, if I can just touch him, I can be healed. And when she touches him by faith, her disease leaves her. Right? He goes into Jairus' house and there's his 12-year-old daughter who's dead. And Jesus says to the dead person, get up, and the little girl gets up. There's just this power in the Word of God. Jesus says to Lazarus, who's been dead for 4 days, come out. And Lazarus comes out. There's just some kind of power in the Word of God, and the reality is, this is the Word of God. So when Jesus says something like in the book of John, John chapter 11, verse 25, I am the resurrection and the life, the one who believes in me, even if he dies, will live, that's the Word of God for you if you're just willing to believe it. God wants to know you. He wants to speak to you, and His words have power. The Word of God is living and active, and if you'll believe it, it'll become a reality for you. That's why Paul says in Romans 1:16, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. That little word, gospel of Jesus Christ, the word of God. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's the power of salvation to anyone who believes, both to the Jew first and also to the Gentile. Why? It's not based upon you, man. It's based upon the word of God. This is the word of God. So when you read it and you believe it and you act upon it, it becomes a reality for you. It's the power of God unto salvation that you can have it. But there is, when you talk about the word of God or understanding the word of God, there is a key, all right, for the word of God to be a reality in your life, and that is that you have to know Jesus. Because the only way you can actually know God and hear the word of God and understand the word of God is through Jesus. Whenever Jesus says, whenever John says, I have made him known, he not only has made him known because he's God in the flesh, but he's provided a way so that you can know him. Otherwise, then you don't really have a desire to know God, or otherwise you don't have a desire to even, like when I was in high school, I was raised going to church, but I didn't really know Jesus. And because I didn't know Jesus, I didn't know God. And I really didn't care about the things of God, you know, because I wasn't spiritual, and this is a spiritual book. Right? So when I graduated from high school, there's this lady in my church. You know, I've told you before, I went to this little country Methodist church. She gave me a gift as a graduation present. She gave me a Bible. It's a New Living Translation Bible. This is back in the day. And a pretty cool Bible. And she gave it to me. I never read it. I never even opened it. I never even looked at it because I didn't care. And if I had read it, or when I did read the Bible, it didn't really make any sense because it's a spiritual book and I was not a spiritual person. I had that Bible for like 5 years. I went to college for 5 years. I didn't get saved in my last year of college. And then I went and worked in the banking for a long time. And then I went to seminary finally after God called me and spoke to me and called me ministry. I was in seminary one time. I was trying to understand this passage of scripture. And I saw that Bible on my shelf, and I thought, man, maybe the New Living Translation would help me understand this passage of Scripture. So I pulled it off my shelf and opened it up, and on the front cover of the book, she had written me a letter. The whole, both sides of the whole front cover was this really encouraging letter, you know, about going on and walking with Jesus, and his word would really help me. I never read it because I hadn't opened it for 10 years. Right? And the reason I didn't open it is because I didn't care to open it, because it's a spiritual book and I wasn't a spiritual person. And the problem is because the reality is because when it comes to spiritual matters, we're born spiritually dead. So we don't care about spiritual stuff. And the reason we're spiritually dead is because we're all sinners. Right, we're born into sin. The Bible says in Romans 3:23 that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. The sin, that idea of sin is basically, you know, God wants you to live this way, and you just say, I don't care, I want to do what I want to do. That's the attitude root out of it. This is Adam and Eve in the garden. God said, do whatever you want, just don't eat that fruit. And Eve's like, dude, I don't care, I want to do what I want. And Adam's right there with her. I'll go with you, right? So God, we don't want there to be a God to tell us. We suppress the knowledge of God because we don't want there to be a God, because God might tell us what to do, and we just want to do whatever we want to do, right? This is just the way we are spiritually. We sin. We do things that God doesn't want us to do. We're all sinners, you know, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And then Romans 6:23 says that the wages of that sin is death. The wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, his Son. The wages, the result, the penalty of sin is death, which means we all have sinned, which means in our natural state, we're spiritually dead. If I'm spiritually dead, I don't really care to read a spiritual book. And if I do read a spiritual book, it probably doesn't make that much sense because it's spiritual. It's the Word of God. But you see, Jesus, what God did through Jesus, God sent Jesus not just to make him known so we would know what God was like, but God sent Jesus so that we might know him. He came to fix what was broken in us. So he's born, he's perfect, he never sins himself, he's the perfect example. He is God himself in the flesh, and he chose to die on the cross to pay the penalty for your sin so that you might be reconnected to God. And the minute you give your life, like John would say, John, Jesus says to Nicodemus, man, truly, truly, I say unto you, John 3:3, no one can see the kingdom of God unless he's born again. Why do you have to be born again? Because you're spiritually dead. But Jesus came to pay the penalty for sin so that through him we might be spiritually born again. You're born first time physically. If you want to see God, you've got to be born again spiritually. The minute you get born again the second time, it reconnects you to God. The minute you get saved, God gives you his Holy Spirit. Do you not know, 1 Corinthians 3:16, as a believer, your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit. He lives in you. It's like you're on your phone. You ever be on your phone and you're talking and the phone call gets dropped? Like you happen to leave the city limits of San Angelo and pow. Hello? Are you still there? Hello? Can you hear me? No, because your phone's dead at that moment, right? No connection. I don't care how loud you speak. I don't care if they're on the other line going, can you hear me? They can't hear you because the connection has been broken. That's what sin does. It breaks the connection. When you give your life to Jesus, the Holy Spirit comes to live within you. What is God? God is Spirit. And now that same Spirit lives in you, and all at once there is a connection. And God speaks to you through that connection. God speaks to you in a way that you can hear him. God speaks to you in a way that you want to know him. I got this little Bible right here. When I got saved in 1983, my wife gave me this Bible. I have everything written in this Bible, man. I got when I got saved, when I got called to ministry, I've got every address in there I had for like 20 years. I lived in 11 different places. First time I baptized a kid. I mean, I just got a bunch of cool stuff written there. She gave me this Bible after I got saved. I busted it open to the Gospels, you know, first four books of the New Testament, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, started reading it. Dude, I couldn't stop reading it. I was like, this is stinking fascinating. I was like underlining stuff, reading stuff. What? I was like, no way. I didn't know anything. I just couldn't stop reading it. Why? Because once I gave my life to Jesus, man, I got connected in a way that God could speak to me. You believer in Jesus, God wants to speak to you. He'll speak primarily through his word. He'll speak by the Holy Spirit. He'll speak when you pray. He'll speak when you come to church. He'll speak through your circumstances. He'll speak through other people. He'll speak through preachers. He'll speak through counselors. God wants to speak to you, right? He wants to be connected to you. He wants to pour his word into you and empower you to live a different life. This is what God wants to do, man, but you got to be connected. And once you're connected, man, and once you get familiar with the voice of God, he'll speak to you. He'll speak to you just during the day about all kinds of stuff. This is what he wants. He wants to have a relationship with you. So, you know, my dad was a farmer, rancher. I spent a bunch of time running equipment with my dad, combines, tractors. When I was a little kid, I'd ride around with my dad in the combine. He's out there. Dude, if you're a farmer, you know this. It ain't like you go out there and spend 2 hours and you got it done. No, you get up there in the morning, man. You run that thing all day long, half the night. Like you're cutting wheat. You might start at 10 o'clock in the morning, but you might go to midnight. You're just running that thing. And I'd be sitting there with my dad. He'd be combining along. Once he'd go, wait a minute, we got to stop, check something out. He'd stop the whole machine. He'd get out. And sure enough, there'd be something wrong. There'd be a bearing out. There'd be a pulley broke. And there'd be something wrong with it that he was able to fix to keep it from being a major disaster. And I'd be like, dude, how did you know that? He said, man, I've run this machine so much. I know what it sounds like when it's running properly. And when it starts making a funny sound, I know something's not right. And that's the way it becomes with God. There's a lot of voices in this world. There's a lot of noises in your head. There's a lot of people buying for your time, trying to say, speaking to you, trying to say this, trying to live like this, trying to do this, man. But the more familiar you are with God, you'll know when you hear a voice that's not His, right? Familiarity, and familiarity takes time. You just got to spend time with the Father. You got to spend time with the Creator. You got to spend time in His Word. You got to spend time in prayer. You just got to spend time with other believers. And it makes you familiar with the voice of God. Why? Because God wants to speak to you. Amen. Would you bow your heads? We're going to close out with a time of prayer in this last song. And before I pray, man, you might be here today and you might be like me one time, like all of us at one time. You might just say, I'm not really a spiritual person. I really don't pray. I don't really read my Bible. And when I do, it really doesn't make any sense. Maybe the real issue is you've never really surrendered your life to Jesus. He is God in the flesh. He died for you that you could be set free of your sin and live a completely different life. But the only way you can enter into that relationship is to ask Him for it. By faith, you come to Him and just acknowledge that you're a sinner and that He died for you. And you want to turn from your sin and trust it all on Him. And that's a prayer God will answer every time if you just ask Him. So as we close out our service, I want to give you that opportunity. And then we're gonna stand and just take a moment to say thank you back to God for what He did in a moment of worship. You can pray a prayer like this. God, I know that I'm a sinner, but I believe that You died for me. I believe You're the Son of God, that You died on a cross to pay for my sin, of which I have many. Would You forgive me of my sin? By faith, I turn from them and trust in You, Jesus, as my Lord and my Savior. Now, it's not the words you say, it's the matter of the heart. Might God hear the cry of your heart today, I pray. In Jesus' name.